You're listening to the First Baptist Rockdale Sunday Sermons Podcast. First Baptist Rockdale is a church dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
All right, today we're going to be in the book of 1 Timothy. We're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, you can flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 11 through 16 today. And if you've been here the last couple weeks, we're actually going to be building off of a lot of what Matt talked about last week. Last week, Matt talked a lot about spiritual discipline. He talked about building spiritual discipline in your own life, what that should look like, the work that goes into that. And funny enough, he talked a lot about fast food and how bad fast food is for you, how you shouldn't eat fast food. And then I go down the hall after the service and talk to my mom. And she says, hey, we're thinking about going to McDonald's. Do y'all want to go with us? So I was like, no, Mom, I'm going to go to Subway, try to be a little bit better after Dad's hard-hitting sermon. So we're going to be continuing with spiritual discipline today. Specifically, we're going to be talking about the spiritual discipline of immersing yourself in the things of God, why it's important to immerse yourself in the things of God, what it looks like to immerse yourself in the things of God, and hopefully y'all can grow a little bit in your faith this morning. Just to give you a little bit of background of what's happening here in 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, who was mentored by Paul. Paul took him on some missionary journey, and then Timothy got left in the church of Ephesus, where he is now the pastor at. And so Paul's writing this to give Timothy both instruction and encouragement. So he's trying to instruct him on what it looks like to have a well-ordered church. And so that starts with pastor. What does a good pastor look like? What are the requirements? He talks about elders, he talks about deacons, and then he talks about, in general, what should the church look like? What should the structure of the church look like? So that's where we are. If you have your Bible, you can read with me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Read with me. Command and teach these things, is what Paul says. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So here Paul opens up by telling Timothy, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be an example to the rest of the church in Ephesus. And then he gives five different things that Timothy needs to work on if he wants to be the example that God has called him to be out there in Ephesus. But he doesn't just tell him, hey, I want you to be an example, do these things. He opens by saying, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example. And then he lists the five ways that he needs to set them an example. And so guys, the first point that I want to make is that you need to be an example to other Christians regardless of your age. Whether you're an old respected person in the church or whether you're brand new to your faith, God has called you to be an example to other believers as to what it looks like to live a godly Christian life. And so let's look at the five different ways that Paul says you need to do these things properly in order to be that example. He opens up with in speech. In the way that you talk to each other. People should know that you're a Christian by the way that you talk. Whenever you're in here, it might be a little bit easier, but whenever you go off to your cliques in the church, like, are you gossiping about other people? And that's a big struggle that I think all of us have. Are we going to gossip with our friends about this other person that's not here? Maybe it's at home. Maybe you berate your kids a little bit more than you should. It's easy at church to look good, but then you go home and you're just treating your kids or your wife or your husband not with the love that Jesus Christ has called you to. So first way that you need to set an example is with your speech, how you talk to one another. This is harder for me because I get up here on Wednesday and I talk to the kids for like 20 minutes straight, just like Matt does here usually on Sunday mornings. So there are a lot of things that I'll say that I'm sure I don't even think about until they're already halfway out my mouth. And by the time that I realize what I said is offensive, it's already too late to take back what I said. And so like this is something that I personally struggle with deeply. So first thing that we need to work on as Christians is our speech. Second thing that Paul says, then to verse 12, is that you need to work on your conduct, the way that you interact with other people. It's very, like, we all look put together here in this room. We all are able to act right. We know how to act at church. But whenever you go home or whenever you're around the guys or the girls, how are you conducting yourself? Is there a difference between you and your non-Christian friends and family that you're interacting with on a day-to-day basis? Then the third thing that we see is that you should set an example in the love that you have for other people. Now, like, this seems pretty easy because it's very easy for me to love like my parents who have taken care of me for 18 plus years, or to love my siblings that have been there with me, or my wife that chooses to love me through all of the garbage in my life. But it's not just talking about loving those that are easy to love. It's talking about just love in general. And so this includes people that, by worldly standards, do not deserve your love. It's like people that have wronged you that don't even care that they wronged you. They recognize it, and they still continue to wrong you day after day. The Lord says you should love even those people. And like the Bible talks about how people should know you're a Christian by the way that we love one another. And so like that is very true. If you want people to see an example in you, love people that are very hard to love. Like, that is something very easy. That, like, why is Seth treating this person with so much love and respect when this person's treated Seth like garbage? So that's the next thing that you need to do. And then the last two things that Paul says are you need to set an example in your faith and then in your purity. And so these five things are what you need to work on if you want to set a good Christian example for the church. If you want to immerse yourself in the things of God, first thing that you have to do is be an example to people in these five ways, regardless of how old you are, regardless of your social status. You just have to be the example. So first thing, immerse yourself in the things of God by being an example to Christians around you. Let's continue on in verse 13. It says, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to the exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you." So here Paul gives us the next thing that we need to work on. He gives Timothy three things here that Timothy needs to do. And he says you need to do public readings of Scripture, exhortation, and teaching. And then right below, Paul gives us the reason why are these things important for Timothy to work on? Well, he says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy. And so what Paul is saying here is, Timothy, you're gifted in these areas, and so you need to make sure that you do not neglect these areas. So Christian, the next thing that you have to do, if you want to live a life for God, if you want to immerse yourself in the things of God, is that you have to recognize where God has spiritually gifted you, and then use the gifts that God has given you to glorify and honor him. And so, like, that could be all sorts of things. If you don't know where you're spiritually gifted, I've said it before, Lifeway has a pretty good spiritual gift survey, and it should give you a pretty good idea of where you are spiritually gifted. Whether it's hospitality or teaching, figure out where you're gifted, and then serve God in those ways. Not only will it help build up the church, but it'll also, like, make you a healthier, happy Christian and a healthier relationship with God, because you're where God has called you to be. Like, God has given you specifically those gifts, and so use them to the best of your ability. A good example of someone that I feel like has spiritual gifts, recognizes it, and then utilizes them are Johnny and Jennifer Hill. Like, they are always willing to host people. They're very hospitable people. That's just something that God has given them. And they're not just people that are willing to host, but they're great hosts. Like, they make good food. They give you good drinks. Whenever I was looking for homes for D-Now, week after week, we were saying we need one or two more homes. And then Johnny Hill came up to me halfway through the service whenever I was in the back and said, "Seth, we're willing to do this." Because, like, even though Johnny probably doesn't want to take care of a bunch of high school guys in his house for the weekend, he knows I'm gifted to do this, so I'm going to do what God has gifted me to do. I'm going to be hospitable in this moment, even though I might not want to host a bunch of high school guys. Thank you, Johnny and Jen, for doing that, by the way. I really appreciate it. So you need to utilize your spiritual gifts to do the work that God has called you to do. But the second part of that is, some of you have gifts or talents that you've just grown over time, whether it's in work or in hobby. A good example of this is, like, we have women that are, like, any time that we have a meal, there are a lot of women next door that go over there and spend the whole service getting things ready for, like, us to eat. Now, that's not, like, a spiritual gift, but, like, they've spent years of their life, like, perfecting how to get everything to come out at the right time. How do we work together to get this done in this hour? And so they're phenomenal at doing that. Like, that's just a natural tool that they've picked up, and they're willing to use that to serve the Lord. We had Travis Taylor in here a while ago when we were putting up these projectors because Travis has access to a lift and knows how to operate a lift. Like, it's not like it's something that fills Travis up spiritually, but he saw a need And so he said, you know what, I'm going to serve where I can. And so, like, use your skills that you've learned over time, but also use your spiritual gifts if you want to serve the Lord properly. Then let's continue on in verse 15 and 16. It says, practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And so, guys, Paul right here gives us the third thing that you have to do if you want to immerse yourself with the things of God, and that is keep a close watch on the teachings of the church so that you protect both yourself and the other people in the congregation. Now, this is a little bit different for a guy like Timothy because he is the pastor of the church. So, like, Matt had, or, like, today I have a responsibility to not spew heresy to y'all. Like, I need to make sure Scripture guides what I'm teaching, and I don't guide Scripture in what it's saying. But you, as someone in the congregation, have a great responsibility to make sure what you're being taught lines up with what Scripture teaches. Whether it's in here, or in Bible study, or in small group, or in Sunday school, like, if you hear something taught that is not theologically sound, you have a responsibility to stand up and say, hey, I don't think that that's accurate. Like, a couple months ago, Ty McGee, who's recently graduated, was sitting in Sunday school, and I forget what I said, but whatever I said was slightly heretical, and not purposefully, but, like, I'm just talking, and then I move into something else, and Ty stops me, raises his hand, and he says, Seth, is that what you were trying to say? Because this doesn't make sense to me. And then I'm, like, backtracking, like, no, that's not what I meant to say. But in that moment, like, Ty knows, I know the truth, so I have a responsibility to help hopefully navigate Seth back to truth, but also so that the other people in that room don't slowly walk into this heresy that Seth's giving us. If today I got up here and I committed the heresy of modalism and I said, you know what, there's no Trinity, there's, like, one part of God, and that's, like, you have God and he starts as the Father, and then sometimes he is Jesus, and then sometimes he's the Holy Spirit, but there aren't three parts to God, there's just one. Like, if I start saying that, someone should get up and say, Seth, where is that in the Bible? That is nowhere found in Scripture. Because, guys, we have a responsibility to make sure that what is being taught in our church is theologically sound. And so if you ever hear anything that is not theologically sound, try to correct bad theology where you see it. And I love what Paul says, because Paul doesn't just say, take one look at your church and make sure that at the moment it's theologically sound. No, he says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. And then he says, persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. And so what Paul is saying is, don't just take one look at your church and make sure that it's theologically sound. You need to consistently look and make sure that the theology being taught in your church is rooted in Scripture. Because it's very, like, a lot of these culty things that we have going on in churches, they don't start as something that's way over here. It usually starts as one dude saying something that's slightly over here, and no one ever backs him off from the false theology that he's teaching, and he slowly walks all the way over here, and the church has no idea what's happening because it went so slowly. And so, like, you have a responsibility, if you see that, to try to call it out before it gets to that point. Like, we can all point to the churches that we say, like, they are not following Jesus, but, like, the people in that church have no idea how far they've gone from the truth of Scripture. And so we have a responsibility to our church to make sure that we hold true to Scripture. So hold your leaders accountable, hold yourself accountable. So first, the three things that you need to do if you want to immerse yourself in the things of God. First one, be an example to Christians, regardless of your age. Second one, use the gifts that God has given you to serve him. And then thirdly, protect the church and yourself from bad theology, okay? And now let's look at, why do we even care about immersing ourselves in the things of God at all? Paul talks about that in verse 15. He says, practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. So Paul's saying, I want you to immerse yourself in the things of God, because I want everyone else to see what God is doing in you, what God is doing through your ministry, Timothy. And guys, it's true for all of you. One of my biggest fears that I have is that I would pour my heart out to someone and share the gospel to them, and they'd look at me blankly and say, Seth, I had no idea that you believed any of this. Like, you're just like me. I thought that we were the same, you and I. Like, we say the same stuff, we act the same way, there's no difference. So why are you acting like this is who you are? Like, that's something that, like, should weigh heavy on your chest, that, like, whenever you share the gospel with someone, they should already see that there's something different about you. And not just non-Christians, like, Christians as well should see there's something different about this guy. They should want to model their life after the way that you are immersing yourself in the things of God. And so look closely at that. Make sure that, like, that's what you're striving for, and so that it opens up doors for you to go out and share the gospel with your friends and family, so that it opens up doors so that you can help walk Christians further and further along in their walk with God. But you have to make sure that you're continuously working on these three things. And I know it is extremely tiring. Like, the more that I grow in my faith, the more that I realize I know nothing about, like, anything. Like, the more that I see the issues in my life that I need to fix, like, every time that I feel like I've killed one thing, five more things spring up. And that's just how it is, because we're imperfect people in an imperfect world. And so as long as you have breath in your lungs, you have a responsibility to continuously work on these three areas so that you can immerse yourself in the things of God. So that whenever you have to have a gospel conversation with someone, like, they see that your faith already precedes what you're about to say. They see that what you're saying aligns with what you've been doing this whole time. And so I want to challenge you today, three groups of people. First group, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I would love to talk to you about what it looks like to follow Christ in your life. We're going to have an invitation in a minute. I would challenge you to come up and let me just talk to you about what that looks like, what it looks like to follow God. All that you need to do to be a Christian is believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again. That's all that you have to do. I'd love to talk to you about what that looks like in your life today in just a minute. Second group is those of you that are Christians, but maybe you aren't really pursuing God the way that Paul is talking about here. You're not really worried about being an example. You're not really worried about using your gifts to serve God, and you're not really worried about the theology of the church. None of this really matters to you. I want you to know, like, today is a great day for you to start taking seriously the role that God wants you to play in his kingdom. And so if that's you, I want to challenge you. In a minute, I'm going to pray. And while I'm praying, just pray to God and ask him to help lead you through that. Ask God to help help you in your walk with him to get more immersed in the things of the Lord, because you can't do it without him. And then afterwards, find some loving Christians that you can have walk alongside of you so that whenever you do inevitably stumble, they can be there to help hold you up. And then I know that there are a decent amount of you today that are Christian and are doing a decent job at trying to immerse yourself in the things of God. You're trying to work on these areas that I talked about today. I want to challenge you to consistently, just persistently do that. Not to give up whenever it gets hard, but to consistently do the work that God has called you to do today. Something that hit me close to home recently, I went to see Dixie Whitmore. Many of you know her. She's played the piano here for many, many years. A great woman, loves the Lord. But I went and visited her out at Rockdale Estates. And she told me that they had just started doing worship out there. And, like, she said, like, you know, that's where God wants me to serve right now. And so every week they're having a worship service, and she's helping lead in music during that service. It's like she's, like, 90 years old. Like, she's all alone, and she's doing the work that God has called her to do. Because she knows the race isn't over until God comes and tells her, hey, you're done. It's time to go home. And so I know it's easy to get this sentiment, like, you know, I'm older, I'm retired, I don't need to do that anymore, I've done my time. But as long as you have breath in your lungs, God has a plan for you. God has something that he wants, like, you to do in your life, and so consistently persist after the things of the Lord. So that's all that I have, guys. Let me pray, and then I'll get out.